Good evening, listeners, and welcome to another episode of Mystery Fiction Library 4000, the series where we look at the weird, the wonderful, and sometimes insane stories literature has to offer. I am Joshua Oy.
I am Paul Hagen. In today's episode, we will be discussing the famous author Harlan Ellison's timeless short story, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. In this short story, the supercomputer AM destroys the world as revenge against the humans who built him. Furthermore, in order to satiate his hatred of humans, he has kept just 4 men and 1 woman, just for him to torture endlessly.
Now, before we jump into the story, let's look at the author, Harlan Ellison, and discuss some information about him, as well as his accolades and achievements.
Harlan Ellison was born on May 27, 1934, in Cleveland, Ohio. Although he briefly attended Ohio State, he was expelled and began his career as a writer shortly after. Over the course of his career, Ellison published over 1,300 stories, novels, and works of fiction, and received multiple awards for many of his works, including awards from both the Mystery Writers of America as well as the Writers Guild of America. Ellison is widely regarded as one of the most important science fiction writers of all time and pioneered breakthroughs in science fiction as a genre. However, Ellison did not just write novels and actually wrote one of the most acclaimed episodes of Star Trek called The City on the Edge of Forever and actually won a Hugo for being the screenwriter of this episode. This episode also served as inspiration to the movie The Terminator, showing how Ellison's influence on the science fiction genre. He was also the author of Repent, Harlequin, Said the Tick-Tock Man, which is one of the 10 most reprinted stories in the English language. Unfortunately, Harlan Ellison passed away last year on June 27, 2018, but survived through his many works of fiction.
Harlan Ellison was clearly an accomplished writer with an expansive career. His history of writing dystopian stories gives a perfect context into I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Although I highly doubt any context can prepare anyone when going into the story.
The story is quite grueling, which is actually a rather common theme for many of Ellison's stories. The story's unforgiving nature is immediately seen with the opening of this short, which depicts a man's body hung down, drained of blood.
And this is only the beginning.
Yes, there's a lot more trauma and hardship that the characters of No Mouth must endure. But I think that we should start our discussion with the one that starts all this madness, AM, the supercomputer that destroys the world out of spite for being given sentience, but no means to explore or satiate his curiosity.
That's basically what AM is, but one major factor in AM's character is his depiction as a cruel god.
As Charles J. Brady notes in an essay about the use of a computer as a symbol for God, the computer is the polar opposite of the good god, and essentially giving the 5 main characters immortality just to treat them as playthings and destroying the entire world. AM is clearly portrayed as a god. There's even a point where Ted, the narrator of the story, proclaims that if there was a god, the god was AM. Yet one important thing that Ellison highlights is that AM was not God.
Another way we can word this question is, to what extent is AM God? And going even further, to what extent is AM human? In addition to AM's powers that obviously give the impression that he is God, Ellison does make use of biblical allusions. Brady points out in his essay the opening actually acts as an allusion to the Paschal lamb, which must be killed in Jewish tradition in a similar manner to which Gorister's body was found hanging.
In another essay written by Darren Harris Fain, he brings attention to the numerous religious allusions, not necessarily just biblical ones, such as how the characters have essentially been eaten by AM in being trapped in his belly, or sort of the underside of the earth, which is similar to Kronos eating of his children to keep them in check. Ellison is making these connections in order to build up the image of AM as God, but AM is only a god to a certain extent.
The breaking of AM's image can be seen at the end of the story when Ted kills the other characters, thus revealing that AM could not bring them back. He could sustain them and keep them alive, but he can't resurrect the dead.
I think that we can destroy this image of AM as a god in exploring to what extent he is also human. Fain highlights how AM portrays human characteristics in the way he giggles and snickers and shows emotion like anger, hatred, and jealousy. Out of all the emotions, I'm sure that we can agree that AM most definitely shows anger and hatred, as it does take some resentment to literally massacre the entire human race except for just 5 to torture them. The jealousy which Fain mentions is exactly what caused AM to run rampant in the first place. He was given the ability to think, but there was nothing it could do with that creativity. In addition to the hatred he feels towards humans at having created him, he also feels jealous towards them because he realizes that they can go out, explore the world, and interact with one another, but he couldn't do any of that. As Ted says, quote, AM could not belong, he could merely be, end quote.
Essentially, AM could only observe the world because he was simply a computer. He couldn't actually interact with anything or satiate his curiosity in any meaningful way. Ironically, it's this jealousy that AM feels which makes him human.
Another emotion that emphasizes the humanity within AM is this very twisted sense of, or rather, not necessarily emotion, but characteristic that emphasizes the humanity within AM is this very twisted sense of humor. One particular instance which Fane brings attention to is the part of the story where the group of five come across some canned goods but are given no can openers. And it's an incident which Fane reveals resembles a gag from a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
There's also other cases where AM plays cool jokes on the group. When they come across the Himmager, which AM conjured, which is a nightmare animal in a sense, Nimdok asks the computer for some weapons, but what they receive instead are two crude sets of bows and arrows and a water pistol. AM is mocking the group and making fun of their inability to do anything about their imprisonment.
Ultimately, AM's crude sense of humor, combined with his uncontrollable anger and jealousy, served to characterize the supercomputer as just some petulant child. Though AM's power gives him essentially the status of God, his personality is like that of a kid.
Arguably, with regards to the human versus the godlike side of AM, I'd argue that he's closer to his human side, even though he's a machine.
I agree. AM really does act less like a god and more like a child playing with his toys. The biggest thing that undermines AM's godliness is, as we stated earlier, when Ted kills the other characters, thus taking his toys away from him. Ted, in the end, achieves a victory over AM by cutting his playtime short. This argument, however, is rather ironic, considering Ted himself believes that AM has won at the end of the story once he is turned into a gelatin blob for killing off the other four.
Now, let's move on from AM. Now, let's move on to the narrator, Ted.
With regards to Ted, Fane actually makes the argument that it is Ted who is fully human and fully godlike in the story.
It's a very interesting argument to make considering how the entire story is AM belittling and dehumanizing the characters. Yet Fane sees that Ted retains his humanity and achieves greater godhood than AM ever could.
However, Fane mentions that Ellison wrote in a book that Ted is able to show love and heroism in the end by defeating AM through killing the others, and as a result, is forced to face a life of loneliness and torment. He even goes so far as to say that Ted has reached a Christ-like ideal we cannot reach.
When reading through the story, I never really thought to connect Ted to Christ. His killing at the end appears to be done out of desperation and hopelessness to beat AM, rather than out of altruism.
Fane seems to interpret Ted's actions as having made a sacrifice like Christ, considering he becomes reduced to a great soft jelly thing and is forced into a life of solitude as a result of his actions. He was willing to kill the others and save them from suffering, even though it did turn him into something subhuman. On the other hand, Diane Andrews Henningfield, in her essay, argues that the ending is not truly a victory, rather, that Ted's killings could just be an act of insane paranoia, as he is an unreliable narrator.
Ted's unreliability as a narrator is significant, as it is something that even Fane recognizes as well as his paranoia. He and even Ellison interprets the killing as Ted overcoming his paranoia rather than as a result of his state of mind due to AM's altering.
It is exactly through his paranoia that it is revealed how unreliable Ted is in telling the story. He boldly claims that he was the only one still sane and whole, despite how he shows fears of the other four hating him for being the one most untouched by AM. Ted is able to clearly identify how the others' bodies and minds were affected by AM's touch, but he's unable to see how he himself was destroyed mentally by being trapped in never-ending suffering.
Henningfield really emphasizes Ted's unreliability and paranoia in downplaying Fane's argument that Ted is some Christ figure. She specifically brings up the ending of the story where Ted still portrays some paranoia as he still worries over what Ellen was thinking hundreds of years into the future.
He says that Ellen's face as she died might have been thinking, and the inclusion of an italicized might shows that Ted is still, as Henningfield says, pondering over the dead's thoughts. Regarding both theories, I would personally side with Henningfield more, as Ted, throughout the story, has shown some very great insecurities and paranoia.
However, shifting away from AM, the supercomputer playing God, and Ted, the paranoid narrator, let's discuss two more major characters in the story. Ellen, the only woman in the story, and Benny, a once brilliant scientist who AM turned into a lab experiment. Ellen, the only woman in the story, has a very interesting background. Ellen was chaste before AM came into her life, but due to AM's altering of her, she now constantly craves sexual interactions and consistently engages in sexual activity with all members of the group.
Though this could be exaggerated, as Ted describes her in a very sarcastic manner. At the beginning of the story, Ted says, O Ellen, pedestal Ellen, pristine pure Ellen, O Ellen the clean, before bluntly calling her scum filth. We cannot truly believe Ellen is as lustful as Ted says, because of the way he describes her due to the previously discussed paranoia. Ted is clearly driven by some sort of sexism or bias against Ella's, thus reducing his credibility. The next member of the survivors is Benny. Before AM's genocidal rampage, Benny was a well-respected and homosexual scientist. However, AM transformed Benny from a scientist into something semi-human, semi-simian, turning him into some primate driven by instincts.
I think that this is also a showcase of AM's twisted humor, as he must have found some amusement in having a gay man be overcome by his animalistic desires, as well as being preferred by the only woman in the group for sex, even being preferred over the other straight man in the group. On that note, it looks like we've unfortunately used up all of our time for today's episode. Hopefully all of our listeners enjoyed our breakdown of this short story and its characters.
I think they did enjoy it indeed. Tune in next week for Mystery Fiction Library 4000 to hear about yet another crazy short story.